accession number 20618, reel 2.
General Richardson, reel 2.
So there we were, we were going in, and I said to this young London policeman who was in charge of the craft that we're going in half a head together because we're going to hit the beach properly, and I'm going ashore dry. As we went in, there were people swimming in the water. Some of my boys wanted them to us to stop, and I said, "You can't do that. We're going in." Actually, before we had done that, I did have a bottle of whiskey with me, which we did share out before we went ashore, which was a good thing. When we hit the beach, my troop leader, Peter Rolls, I said, "You get off, and if you disappear, it's too deep." But however, he was all right. He got off the front of the LCT, and we then drove off, and I got everything ashore without any problem at all. And we were, in fact, somewhere about 1,000 yards to the left of where we should have been. We were on a piece of beach which they thought we shouldn't normally have landed on. But however, because the tide was fairly well in, we didn't have any problem. There was, in fact, a bit of a road along the edge there at that stage, which was surprising. But luckily, the Air Force had dropped a bomb on the road, which had made an ability for us to be able to get off the beach up onto the road. And there was a chap sitting on the road who'd been wounded, and I said, there was nobody else there, and I said, "You know, what's the form?" There was a barbed wire fence, actually, in front of us on the other side of the road, which said Achtung Minen on it. So, but there was, I knew there was a bit of soft ground there. Anyway, the other troop was already ashore on the left of us, and I thought, well, I better get down and join up with them so that we can collect together. And we went, I took my tank through a bomb crater, and the first gun following it, which was, they were all towing sledges with full of ammunition, had been on the LCT underneath the guns. And as it went through this thing, old Nobby Newman put the thing into crawler gear and with full revs on, and he tore the back idler off the LCT, which then collapsed back into the hull. So that was the first casualty. It stopped the other three guns coming, went back, past the one which we'd wrecked, and put them in action where we were. I sent my assistant with the director, which puts the guns online actually, out into the minefield because there was nowhere else for him to go. And he went out there prodding with his minefield, with his director stand, but he didn't stand on any mine, so he was all right. And immediately we were called to support. We were supporting, the Hampshires actually, and then after that the Devons, who were going up the hill the other side of Annell. Two things happened. First of all, I got all the ammunition off the wrecked gun. That gun detachment therefore had to collect the ammunition, which had about 300 rounds to move actually onto the other guns. And the 6th LCT, which had not been with us for the run-in shoot, had in fact beached not far from us and was sideways on and stranded on the beach. And I managed to go and collect, or get the boys to collect and other people to collect, all the ammunition which they should have used on the run-in shoot, actually, so that I had more ammunition then as to what I was firing. There was a bit of desultory firing coming the other way, but we were busy in what we were doing. And our battery was basically, had to be, I was meant to go in, but they said, "For Christ's sake, Tony, get into action and stop in action because we need you." So we stepped there and we were there firing artillery support while they cleared Annell and, I can't remember the place actually, going up the hill towards Arromanches. And then in the afternoon they'd cleared away off the beach, the flails had been in and sorted that bit out. And so we got up over the hill and round to the Buho Crossroads, I suppose it was there. So we were in action there in the evening and we did the fire support for the attack on Arromanches, where there was very little resistance by the time they got to there. And we were destined the next morning to go on with the commandos. We were going to do it that first day, but in fact we did it the next day, very early in the morning to Port-en-Basson, where in fact the pipeline was going to come in, which was fairly important that we got there. So the battery, which I was leading, we drove through to a place called La Rosière, which was in the open, it's between the sea and Bayeux. And the only thing which we got there, well, we knew there was nobody in front of us because the commandos were along the coast actually getting into Port-en-Basson. They said, well, it's just a possibility. There is a panzer division coming round the other side of Bayeux, actually, so do sort of keep alert in case anybody turns up. But luckily nobody turned up. The only thing which did turn up was there was a farm down on our left, and I sent the boys down there to see there were no Germans in it. And when they got down there, what did they find? But a British water cart, a Morris Commercial, the type which had been with the army in 1940. And it had been modified slightly with a sort of German speedometer and German battery. And as we were the battery who landed without a water cart, well, we weren't going to get one for some time, I requisitioned that. It was going well, and that we had that water cart going with us until the winter of the war. It got, it skidded off the road and wrecked itself sometime in the winter, actually, but it did a tremendous job. And that was our first capture, was this British old water cart, which had, was going well, marvellous. So, having that night, the commanders had been actually pushed out of Port-en-Basson, and we had to send, I think it was the Dorsets, actually, who went through the long battery, which we had captured that evening, and then they had helped them get back in. But our OP with the commandos was a subaltern, actually, Jack, because the troop commander who should have been with them was on the motor launch, which didn't turn up, but it did turn up later on. Anyway, he had left his carrier and got on his feet, actually, with the commandos, and he was surrounded at the top of the hill by the Germans, but they escaped. Later on, he joined us. But the carrier, which only had a driver and a signaller in it, didn't know where it was, and was out in the blue, actually, in the middle of the night. And we were in touch by radio, and that was all. And I sat in the bottom of my tank, and I said, if you steer towards the moon, which was behind me this way, you will be coming in our direction. So, anyway, I got them back in the middle of the night. There was a bit of sort of whether they were meeting Germans or not meeting Germans at some stage. But we got them back. And that evening we then were told to join our armoured brigade, 8th Armoured Brigade, which was formed up together, which was at that stage the Sherwood Rangers Yeomanry, the 4th 7th Dragoon Guards, and the 24th Lancers. And we were to go through to Villa Bocage. Just the armoured brigade and our regiment. And we drove that night, we collected together and we drove through at dawn. And we got to the high ground just near Tilly-sur-Sul. And that was where we met the Panzer-Lehr division coming the other way. But we were by that stage 10 miles in, and there was nobody behind us much. There were sort of people used to come up with ammunition at night. And we had the three armoured regiments, and we did get the odd infantry battalion. The DLI did come up at one stage, and the Green Hearts, I think, came up too. And we were trying to capture Saint-Pierre, Christo, and but we got into these places, but we didn't manage to hold them. But we had the regiment was on point 103, and we never fired from there anything over 2,000 yards, which was charge one. I even fired one SOS, actually, which was when people demand a rapid fire in the middle of the night at 325 yards, actually, which was at the Haut Adrien. But, however, we survived it. I had a number of the infantry killed on my gun position, but and I used to have to come out of a hedge. But anyway, we were there for 5 days, I suppose. And eventually we were relieved, I think by the 49th Division, anyway, by a whole division had to come up and relieve us, but that was, and we then went back where the Armoured Brigade were supporting 50 Div, which was at that stage fighting its way forward on the other side of Tilly and up towards Hotto and that sort of area, which was, so there was just various brigade attacks and things like that.
Had you thought at this stage that the Germans might succeed in driving the Allies back into the sea?
Never. No, we knew they couldn't do that. Absolutely, there wasn't a possibility of it. I know they tried, but we didn't know what was going on the lift. As far as we were concerned in 30 Corps, I didn't think there was any chance. I mean, we knew the Americans were ashore by that stage and moving. No, the bridgehead wasn't quite as big as we hoped it was going to be, because we should have captured Bayeux and Caen on the first day. But actually, 30 Corps, we had Bayeux. But of course, the chums on the left, the 3rd Canadian Division, the 3rd British Division and the Airborne Division, were in fact confronted by a Panzer Division, which was fairly close by. So they had a problem. We had a problem too, in that 7th Armoured Div, which was going round the right, did get themselves into Villers-Bocage, but they did get pushed out of there too, and were back to the firm base at Livry near Comol. But once we knew that stuff was coming ashore so fast by that stage that we were okay. Full of confidence. It was just a question of how to get on with this dreadful Bocage country with such short distances and the banks and all the... It was difficult because the protection. However, we next got involved, I suppose, with that major problem over the crossing the Odon and Hill 112 and all the rest of it, which was not actually, because 30 Corps was on the right. That was when we advanced from point 103 down through Fontenay-le-Pail, up towards Tessel Wood and down towards Roray. And I tried a great fire plan that day, supporting it all, and was then sent for and told to join the 1260th. Our motor battalion, which was astonishingly not normal, was told to do a battalion attack the next day. And as the others were all deployed with their armoured regiments, I was told to go and support them. And that was when I got involved with... There I got orders at midnight. They said, well, we're going to march to the start point, which was up near Tessel Wood. And I said, well, I've got to take the carrier, otherwise my communications are difficult, and I must see whether I can get it through the River Searle, which I managed to do in the dark and get up at dawn to the corner of Tessel Wood, where it was meant to be our rendezvous. There was nobody there. Well, I found one man in a hole, and I said, who are you? And he said, well, he was in the King's Own Yorkshire Light Infantry. So he said he didn't know where anybody else was much. There was a burning German tank on the corner of the wood. And it was a lovely, beautiful morning, the sun shining. And I walked down the side of the wood to see whether... Well, I knew what we were going to have to attack, and I wanted to see whether I, what the sort of view, you know, what the, how I could see or not. There was a from out of the wood. Luckily, it was one of our soldiers. So I said, what's the form? He said, well, I don't know. I've been here all night in a group. The wood's full of Germans. So I said, oh dear, well, I better walk back and see where my fellows are. By that stage, the chaps and I carried had dug a really enormous hole. But I couldn't get further forward because there was a big bank which I couldn't get the carrier over until I found someone, because the people then started coming. The battalion turned up. The 4th 7th turned up. They were going off with some people called the Hallams, actually, around the left flank towards Roray. And we were to go straight down the middle. I got someone to blow the bank, actually, with a landmine and make a hole so I get my carrier through, and went to the start point with the colonel. And I'd only got my troop, because the other troop was being used by the 4th 7th Dragoon Guards. So I said, all right, well, if you're going to do this attack, I can give you 90 rounds gunfire, 1.5 seconds, actually. I did actually lengthen it out when they took a little bit longer, but they, we threw everything we got at this church they were going to try and capture. So I gave them more fire support. I eventually got the battery. And then they got stuck down, and I said, well, I'll get a regimental target on the area there for you. So I was told by the adjutant that I had to range each battery because there were other people in the area, which I did. And then the colonel said to me, I'm going to pull them back. I've got to pull them back. So I managed to change the regimental target into smoke. I told him to fire 2 rounds smoke followed by 6 rounds gunfire, whatever it was, smoke at 1 minute interval. It was the best smoke screen I've ever put down in my life, actually. It was, we absolutely blotted the place out. And they managed to get back without any more casualties, actually, which was... But we were then sitting in this hedge when a German tank, which we had seen in the woods to the left, actually, suddenly fired 1 round of 88, which exploded in the hedge above us, wounding 3 officers. By that stage, one of our troop commanders had turned up. And he was there with his radio set. So I said, well, I've got the only vehicle. I'll take these 3 to the first aid station and I'll come back. So I drove them away and handed them over to be repaired. And when I got back, the battalion had gone. They had withdrawn. And I was then told to go off and support the 15th Scottish Division, who were going to do another attack the next day. And so I parked myself in a field. And it came on to rain, and the boys wanted to move the carrier over their hole so that it wouldn't get wet. They couldn't wake me up. I was absolutely fast asleep by that stage in front of the carrier. And I was told I didn't have to go over the 15th Scottish. The next day I went back to my gun position. And so we went on. After that, there was the great bombing of Caen, the rest of it, which went on, and we were 30 Corps were then moved across. We were crossed to the right. We took over some from the Americans, actually. By that time we got to July, and we were, our main objective was to get on to Montpensier. 7th Armoured Division again, actually, tried it. We captured their start. We were 43 did by that stage. We got their start line for them. In the end, it was 43 Div and 8th Armoured Brigade that went through. And we, in fact, fought our way up Montpensier. The 13th, 18th were eventually getting up there with the 5th Wilts. After that, we fought our way down to Condé-sur-Noire, and that was the Falaise Gap time.
Any memories of the fighting on Montpensier?
Well, we lost our second in command, who was recceing forward, because we were around on the right flank, actually, which was on our own, so that we could cover all the way down. The second in command, he had a half track and a jeep, had gone forward across a little river and up the other side, and we lost him. We didn't know where he was, actually. So I was told to go down and find him. So I took my OP, my command post tank. Command post tank had a tin gun on it. It didn't have a gun, it was a dummy. Of course, we had to have the artillery boards and things inside the turret. And I went off on my own down to the bottom of the hill where there were some Germans on the other side of the river holding out white handkerchiefs and were quite happy to surrender. But being on my own, I'd sort of fired a few rounds from my machine guns, actually, and they had all jammed because they weren't used very much. So I decided not to take them or ask them whether they'd seen our second in command, because I didn't know where he was. And I thought that the better part of valour was to move along the river, actually, and see whether another place he might have been. I discovered later on that, in fact, he had gone through the very place where I had gone down. He was about 400 yards further up. A German tank had shot up his half-track and killed his crew. But the driver of the jeep managed to escape. And he, in fact, was sheltering in a ditch at that time, actually, but he did manage to get out that night. The Germans had the best part of an armoured brigade up there, actually, which was at that stage. So I couldn't have done anything very much, even if I had got there. But he was being told to go through to recce a gun position which was occupied by the Germans.
What was his name?
Oh, God, I can't remember. Terrible. I know perfectly well, but...
It will be on record.
Yes. I'll get it for you.
Can you take me through the details of what happened after this, please?
Oh, after that, actually, we supported the attacks down towards Condé-sur-Noire, and we eventually drove through round Condé-sur-Noire after the Falaise Gap. I suppose it was about the middle of August by that stage. Can't remember, it must have been that day, because for the first time since we had arrived in Normandy, we had a day out of action. Because we weren't allowed, we were meant to be crossing the Seine. But we weren't allowed because the Americans had sort of come up on the left, actually, and we were frightened of getting muddled with them. So we had a day out, and we had lunch with a German farmer's family. I must admit, I thought they were probably starving, but it was the most fantastic lunch I've ever been had, with about six courses and a different wine with each course and all the rest of it.
A Norman family?
Yes. And they couldn't have been nicer. And then we dashed on the next day to cross the Seine at Vernon. 43 did, but secured the crossing. And we were the first guns over the Seine. And 8th Armoured Brigade was then launched to go as fast as we could across France. We, in fact, went through Beauvais, Amiens, Lille. By that time, we had to let the guards go through, actually, because we had been in front of them up to that stage, and do flank guard, sort of in the area of Oudenarde. Lille we liberated. We sent in a squadron of the 4th-7th and a company of the 60th, and we had to send in another squadron, another company of the 60th to carry them out, because they were entertained so well while we were fighting on the outskirts of Lille. But that was all part of this great advance, which we were doing 50 miles a day, actually, or so. It was great drive. I even managed to be called for fire support while I was actually on the move. And I had a radio contact with my guns, and I got them off the road into action, and I fired the first round within 90 seconds. It was recorded, it was like a demonstration in support of the 4th-7th at that stage. But
in support of whom?
The 4th-7th Dragoon Guards. We were actually called at that stage actually for fire support from one of the other centre lines, but it was too far behind us, we couldn't reach them. But it was all those part of excitement which we had in driving across France at that time. But having got to the flank guard of, well, the guards armoured entertained themselves in Brussels, and the 11th Armoured have got into Antwerp, we were then sent for to help them on the crossings of the Burg Leopold Canal, I suppose it was. I can't remember the name of the place. It was a very fierce little battle, actually, with some German young SS who were in some barracks. Anyway, we fought our way through that, and we then surrounded Burg Leopold, which was the Belgian base, army base, to let the Belgian brigade go in and finally capture them, occupied. And from then, we were ready. They had actually captured a bridgehead over the next canal before the great Arnhem operation. We had to wait a few days while they got the ammunition up from Normandy. But we were stacked with ammunition. We did the fire support, and the guards launched their first attack, and the Irish Guards losing their first 9 tanks actually down the road, but however they got on. We were delayed slightly going after Eindhoven by the American 101 Division failing to stop the Germans blowing the bridge at Oz, which delayed us for 24 hours. We then got ourselves up to Nijmegen. One battery was up in front actually, and with the 84th Division actually covering the Reichsveld on the right, and were the first guns to fire into Germany. We, in fact, got into Nijmegen and were lined up with the Somerset Light Infantry waiting for the 4th-7th to drive through at all costs through Elst. But the 4th-7th got delayed by a blown bridge, and we didn't go that evening. They went the next morning, and we crossed the Nijmegen Bridge the next morning too, and supported them going up in the left of Elst to link up with the Poles at Driel, and we moved forward on the island up there. And our next task was we put some of the Poles across, we put the Dorsets across, and then we were told to get to cover the airborne while they got out. And we put down the most enormous fire plan. The Germans had thought we were all coming, actually, and that was always a report. Then they came back anyway. We fired everything we'd got, and the weather was deteriorating a bit, but we got them out, and we held that island for some time. I remember being in an OP up along the river, and there was a bridge, a railway bridge further down the river from Arnhem, which was still in existence. And I was in the OP, and I watched that being dive-bombed by typhoons, who landed a bomb on one of the pillars, and I saw it, the centre section of the bridge rolled into the river. It's the first time I've ever seen a bridge blown down, actually. It was a fantastic sight. I could just reach it with supercharge, and if the Germans had been using it, but that stopped them using it. From then on, we were eventually withdrawn off the island and handed over to, I can't remember, the Canadians or the Americans. They got pushed back by the Germans, actually, shortly after that. But we were guarding the river further down, actually, and helping to get people out, which we were still getting people out from the airborne division who were sort of escaping. And then we did actually recce our gun position to do the Reichswald assault that autumn. And we actually went and looked at them. But however, they decided not to do it then because of other problems. And they sent us to the south of Holland, to Brunssen, where, in fact, we got involved with 8 Corps, the first time we'd left 30 Corps, in capturing a number of bases in Germany, actually, down the south there, south of Maastricht. And we were down there in the winter, actually, holding the line when the Germans invaded the Ardennes, actually, which was in the early, just after New Year, that's right.
Any memories of the capture of those German positions to the south of Maastricht?
Yes, one of the troop leaders got an MC there for helping the Americans had produced... The 9th American Army had arrived. They were new. And the 4th-7th Dragoon Guards were sent down to give them aid to try and capture Aachen, I suppose it was. It was all breach of the Siegfried Line. And we obviously went down there because the 4th-7th would never move without our battery, because we were, as far as we were concerned, part of them, and they weren't going to rely on any American artillery support. However, it was to be a dawn attack, actually, by the Americans. But the American brigade commander, I suppose, sent a whole battalion on patrol to sort of check the way at midnight. And the battalion commander came back on the radio. He said, "Hey, Hank, kiss my ass," he said. "There is no one here at all." And with that, he just said, "Get up and go" to the rest of them, and they occupied their objectives before dawn, and the Germans opened up on their start line, where they weren't, the next morning, because they had withdrawn from it, it was the way the Americans worked, we laughed. Driving down there, in fact, of course, I did actually drive, was told to go to somewhere where the Americans were. It wasn't quite the right before we got ourselves organised, but spent the night with them, bless their hearts. Then we...